mayor's been traveling, went to D.C., Shenandoah Valley, and if we know the mayor, wherever he goes, he's going to be checking out the towns to see what he can do maybe to improve Highlands. And how was your trip, and what did you see?
It was a personal family trip. Every time I make a long road trip, and that was a long road trip to the Shenandoah Valley, I'm always taking notes and comparing notes about where we are as a community and looking at what other communities have done. Sally and I went and saw our son and his wife's new home. They used to be, if you will, Beltway people, worked in Washington for the government. What happened was, with the COVID pandemic and so forth, they were required to work from home, and now they're working with a kind of a hybrid model where they go into Washington from time to time, every week, yet they're also working from home. They're out in this beautiful, you know, community near what we call Bluemont, Virginia. One of the things that I come away every time I go and visit is that we all share as a country common challenges, and the challenge that the folks in the Shenandoah Valley are facing: new development, new growth, and how do you preserve that beautiful natural environment, that agrarian countryside, versus now people coming out wanting to live outside of the Washington area.
You also went, after you got back here, you went with Josh Ward out to Raleigh, and the town and state dinner. That is nice when you meet with representatives and just get the feel of what they're doing.
That's right. I arrived back in Highlands on Tuesday afternoon. 8 o'clock on Wednesday, we were traveling back on the road to Raleigh, which was a great trip. And we attend the, it used to be called Town Hall Day, where mayors and town managers and representatives of towns would meet with their legislative representatives at the state capitol in Raleigh. That was a good trip, and we were very delighted that we were able to meet with our local representative, Carl Gillespie, and also our senator, Kevin Corbin.
Starting tomorrow, our Gorge Road is going to be shut down to fix that uneasiness and that sagging road. Josh had come in contact with the DOT, and they had their own little problems with some other issues.
It's on our way back from Raleigh. We were pulling out of Dillsburg, going up Cowie Mountain. What he wanted to show me was how the DOT had managed that sagging road problem as you go down Cowie Mountain toward Dillsburg. And they've been working on it, I think, about 2 years, where they had single lane traffic and they were trying to do some kind of road work. I never was really fully clear on what they were doing. It was perplexing to me. But Josh informed me that basically that side of the mountain was about to just fall apart. So they've been packing and filling the side of the mountain with material to keep it from the road from sagging. And then at the base, on this little country road that we were riding down, they drove these water pipes into the rock of the mountain, and they were diverting water that was undermining the whole structure of this project. And they had about 15 water pipes for about 200 or 300 yards, where they're piping that water away from the road. The crazy thing about that project was, and the engineers for DOT knew this would happen, they put the fill and packed it down with the full knowledge that even after doing that, it would settle some more, and they'd have to go back and repack, which they're in the process of doing, and then paving it, and hopefully it will stabilize. People don't understand, building roads and maintaining roads in the mountains of Western Carolina isn't like building a road on those flat country roads. We have real challenges in addressing some of the road conditions, and one of the ones that we'll have to be grappling with this coming week is a similar stabilization effort on the Gorge Road, right where the gorge is. As the paper says, the DOT will be driving in this metal meshing and soil nails into the side of the mountain, and then again filling it in, trying to get that small section stabilized. I applaud DOT for being proactive and doing it now without delay, because if that part of that Gorge Road were to give way, then that would be a catastrophic situation where it would take months or even a year or longer to restore that road. Well, I know the Motoring Festival had plans and they're going to have to do the detour, but it's a project that can't be delayed.
And finally, the town board made a decision about short-term rentals, and obviously coming back, you probably had a whole bunch of emails or whatever on your desk about feedback, good or bad or in between.
All I can say is I think the board did what they thought was in the long-term best interest for the most people in Highlands. I know there's still some controversial components to those changes, and I know some people are considering legal action. The board did what they thought was best. The next thing on the agenda is the final approval of the comprehensive plan. If you recall, we've been working on a comprehensive plan and have had a consulting company guide the community through this process now for over a year. One of the things that I was really gratified to see in the process was the overwhelming response to the community survey. And that survey that people took about what they want to see happen in Highlands in the future has been kind of the foundation, along with feedback from different community groups and stakeholders. That's all become a foundation for this plan. The next step, it was kind of delayed in being approved until we address the short-term rental issue. The next step will be that the planning board will do a final review. They'll make a recommendation this month to the town board. The planning board will be meeting this Monday at our community center. The consulting company, Jake Petrosky, who's the head of the whole process for the company, they will do a presentation to the town board saying, here's the final draft. The town board will set a public hearing date for the end of the month, probably the last week of the month, where we will do a review and take actions about approving the community plan.
And you have another survey out there for the American Disabilities Act.
We've got contract renewals. The board hired a consulting company to do what we call an ADA study using the Americans with Disabilities. They will be coming in to the town to see how the town complies with all of the requirements of the ADA. It includes public buildings and streets and sidewalks. One of the critical components of that is a community survey. I want to encourage people to take that survey. We have it on the town website. The consultants want to get public feedback about how they feel like the town is complying with the ADA requirements. And of course, I anticipate that they'll make recommendations that we take action to address certain things that they've discovered in that study.
I don't know. It seems like a long time coming, but the Highlands Historical Society hosting their reopening, and you want to talk about a great guy, and we've loved him through the years too, Rand Schaffner.
Absolutely. Rand has been the greatest town historian I think that anyone or any community has ever had. You know, he wrote that wonderful comprehensive history of the founding and the history of Highlands that is kind of the Bible of understanding what has happened in the past in this community of Highlands. And then, of course, he's been a tremendous leader and advocate for making people aware about our heritage and our history here on the Highlands Plateau. And the Historical Society recognized him with a plaque. Unfortunately, I was out of town or I would have been in attendance, but I want to congratulate Rand for his many years of service to this community.
I had the pleasure of voicing some of his words. I never sounded so good with all those great words there. So I wanted to thank Rand for that, too. Congratulations.
Yes,
let's address this car driving into Paoletti's storefront.
Thankfully, no one was injured. The way we have our parking, it's very efficient because we can get a lot of cars in downtown Highlands, but that diagonal parking always creates the potential that if somebody doesn't really have their car in reverse or whatever and you hit the gas, you could be jumping up on the sidewalk and hitting a building or, for God help us, hitting a pedestrian. When you think about the number of people we have every year in our downtown area, this is very infrequent that this happens. I think it happened over near the Highlands Plaza maybe 6 or 7 years ago. It doesn't happen often, and I think it's a tribute that most people, when they're in the downtown area, they drive safely. I'm so glad that it worked out that no one was injured in that accident.
You know, before the taping of this show here, I was coming up 106 and stopped at the light and turned. I looked at the fire department, and the facade is really coming along. What's been added?
They're really moving very fast to complete the fire department. Those bright red doors have been installed. I think I might have mentioned this in a previous broadcast, but somebody was commenting that they thought that the doors were not wide enough for the equipment. And I went back and talked to the fire chief and our town manager, and they said actually the old standard for those doors were 12 foot wide, but we had hired an architect that specializes in fire departments, the construction of fire departments. Our doors meet the new standard of being 14 feet wide. They probably don't look as wide because they're very tall, and that was a part of the design also, with the anticipation in the next decade or something, we might have some new equipment, hook and ladder trucks that would be very high, and you need a bay that allows the height to accommodate those kind of pieces of equipment. Given that such design challenge, one of the things that was done, the roof is pretty high on that fire department, not like the current one, which is very low. One of the reasons that it's high, it allows our rescue people to practice rappelling. And also, when you hit the electric button to raise the doors, they go all the way up. They clear the highest part of that bay, and then they go back and fold into the roof. That takes space. But again, that will, in the future, make sure that if we have a piece of equipment that is tall and has ladders and things on it, there'll be plenty of clearance for those types of vehicles. The building is on schedule to open in the fall. Right now, we've got our fingers crossed that we have been able to hold the cost within the budget that was allocated. And in this inflationary period, that's a lot to be said for that.
And one more time, we already talked about the shutdown of the Gorge Road June 6th, the week of June 6th. Can we just go over one more time as we leave?
It will be shut down on the business days, weekdays, hopefully by Friday of this coming week. They'll be wrapping up that work and we'll be out of there. If not, they'd have to come back and work on the following week. But hopefully, all during the week, they can easily make that repair and get that road back to normal.